You are listening to The Straight Shooters exclusively on Wildfire Radio. Subscribe to The Straight Shooters podcast on iTunes by visiting the iTunes store and download every episode on wildfireradio.com. Now, here's Vaughn Johnson and Nick Picone bringing you the latest and greatest in the world of professional wrestling.
Oh, Shooters Radio Universe!
My name, of course, is Vaughn Johnson.
Well, super nerdy pet peeve of mine, nitpicky. I don't think he should have been hopping over the top rope like a parkour champion.
You got me mad now.
What is your name?
Yeah, as always, with my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Picone.
That's me.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
It ain't gonna matter.
I don't really know us like you think that you do.
I'm Brian Isley.
What is he doing?
Oh, my God! Is he the third man?
He's the third man!
What the hell is going on here?
Straight Shooters is, the number one show on Wildfire Radio.
I'm feeling good.
No sleep, no food, no nothing. Just maniacism.
Well, all the skeptics and all the people have a little bit of... Let me do this again.
Oh, it's live, Al.
Sorry.
What actually happened on the show? Nothing.
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
What's going on, everybody out there? Man, my name is Vaughn Johnson, formerly of the Alpha 13 Super Bowl Championship football team. We won't talk about that anymore because we are talking about episode... Well,
could be. I used to work for them technically, but
We are talking about episode 147 of the Straight Shooters on so many platforms. How many platforms? A lot. We're on iTunes, we're on Google Play, we're on Stitcher, we're on iHeartRadio, we're on Spreaker, we're on TuneIn, we're on Player FM, and of course, the mothership, wildfireradio.com. But if you're watching us now, you're watching us live on YouTube, so thanks for joining us on YouTube. But also, rate, review, subscribe to us on all those other platforms I just mentioned. I'm joined, as always, by my main man, Pots and Pans, Nick Picone, the Philly voice, the Philly influencer. Nick, how are you doing tonight, my good brother?
I'm doing great. Shout out to Kingsway Dragon. Baseball team. Two big back-to-back wins this week. And we're going down to a little place I like to call the shore tomorrow for a little tilt with Ocean City, New Jersey. So big weekend. Playoffs are right around the corner. So I'm doing great.
Is this part of the Diamond Classic they got in New Jersey?
It is not, unfortunately.
Okay. It's weird how the Diamond Classic isn't like it's like bigger than the state playoffs. But
yeah.
It's weird.
Certain extent, we made it a few years ago, and it was definitely one of those cool moments because it was like 30 years since the Dragons were represented. So, just getting ready for playoff time.
For those who don't know, if you're listening to this outside of the Philadelphia, New Jersey, or this is New Jersey high school baseball we're talking about, where the tournament in New Jersey called the Diamond Classic, which is like very prestigious, almost at just as or more prestigious than the state title. Which is kind of weird.
Kind of looked at it like that, yep.
Kind of weird, but that's the way it is in New Jersey. That's how they do things. A lot of baseball talent comes out of New Jersey, including Mike Trout. There's the Eagles fan.
Yeah. Season ticket holder as well.
Yeah, even though he's probably not at most of the games because he's still playing baseball. But that's neither here nor there. Despite all that, we've got some wrestling to talk about. And this is going to be a very special episode. We're going to do a bit of a retrospective of sorts because we want to talk about Roman Reigns. I know everybody's been talking about Roman Reigns lately, and it's for good reason because his current storyline is not doing it for me and a lot of other people. And this was actually Nick's idea to kind of like sit down and discuss Roman Reigns' career to this point and just why we are in this position today. But we can talk about what he's involved in today, and that's pretty much that they're calling him the uncrowned Universal Champion, even though he lost to Brock Lesnar straight up at WrestleMania and barely beat him or didn't technically beat him at the Greatest Royal Rumble, but for some reason, he's the uncrowned Universal Champion.
Which would have been a fluke win if they did somehow go that way.
So, and essentially the story is out, you know, the reports are that WWE is trying to make him an underdog, which is, this seems foolish, and that it's management holding him down, and that's the story they're trying to play, even though everybody knows that management in reality is giving him the big push, keeping him in
every opportunity.
Yeah. Right. Opportunity after opportunity. And it's gotten quite stale. It's like they have built up to the point of anointing him, but he's been anointed so many times, and it's like they've dragged it out. Like, they could have just had him beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. Could have had him beat Lesnar
twice.
Yeah, they could have had him beat Lesnar at Greatest Royal Rumble, but yet they're dragging it out longer. To what degree? I don't know. I don't know why, but whatever the case may be, this has been, this Roman Reigns experiment goes, like you said, twice before WrestleMania. This is going back to 2013.
Yeah.
And it's just almost 5 years we're talking about of Roman Reigns being positioned as a guy that WWE wants to make the guy and trying to get him to be won over by the fans at large. Can't, you know, you're probably not going to get 100% all the time, but at large, you could probably get the majority of the fan base behind somebody. And WWE's been trying and trying and trying for seemingly forever. I mean, 5 years is a long time. And at least with me and a lot of others that have expressed this online, it hasn't worked. So, I mean, I don't know how you feel about Roman Reigns' current situation before we go back to the beginning, but what are your thoughts on what Roman Reigns has done lately?
Oh, man, like, there's been maybe three times I really sat back and I was like, okay, this is good. This is what WWE needed to do to get a majority of the crowd on Roman Reigns' side. Because like you said, this goes back to like 2013 when we really saw what they were positioning him as. And every single, those three times that I mentioned, they just totally kind of throw it away. Like, they don't even give him a extended run with being the quote unquote badass, where really when he won the title in Philly, like, he was the badass. They turned him into a badass the night before at the TLC pay-per-view. And then the next night he beat Sheamus.
We're going to talk about all that in detail.
Right. And like, that's just like a microcosm in that they just never go on with it. They're like, okay, now that the fans are kind of like, you know, behind him, we're going to make him what we visualize him as. And then right away, the fans turn on him. So they have no pulse, the pulse of the fan. Like, they have no clue. And it's frustrating because I would rather have just seen him as the guy, position him as, but now, like you said, 5 years, and we're still dealing with the same thing. The fact that the way they're positioning him as an underdog, calling him the uncrowned Universal Champion, like, that's not going to gain steam at all. And I would think that they would know that by now. So it's almost like I'm actually angry about it. Like, I try not to get angry. I try to be objective when looking at things. Like, I don't always hop on the internet wrestling community bandwagon where, you know, well, we have to love AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, and we have to hate everyone else that's not them. Or, you know, like the whole Nakamura thing we talked about last year, where we didn't really necessarily think he was ruined just because, you know, he didn't win the title in his first match or something like that. Where there's a prevailing notion out there that of certain things that are just kind of ridiculous. This one, it's at the point where I think I'm just like exhausted. And I think that's the worst spot to be in when you cover, you know, this business, but you're also a fan of it. And if you're just exhausted from somebody, that's not a good thing. So that's just how I feel. Like, I'm just, whenever he's on, whenever like I hear his music hit, I just kind of roll my eyes. And I don't want to be like that, but they kind of made me like that.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like I said, it's going on for like 5 years. It's kind of, you got some fatigue there.
Yeah.
It's just like, again, like, yeah. Steve Austin didn't get this long of a run, like,
exactly.
In this spot. And at least you could have justified it if he had have. You could have justified it by him being super over and selling crazy amounts of merch and selling all the tickets he wants to sell and, you know, yada, yada, yada. WWE can't really do that with Roman Reigns. I mean, I'm sure he's selling a good amount of merch. Last time I checked, last time I heard, it wasn't flying off the shelves like, you know, Cena or Austin. At least with Cena, they could justify it. Like, he's the top merch guy. Okay. You know, I understand that. But with Reigns, can you really justify it with that? I mean, I don't know. Doesn't seem like it.
It's really tough to justify that at this point. I think maybe in 2015, maybe 2016, but now we're 2 years later, 3 years later. I don't buy into it.
It's just not working. But let's rewind a little bit. This is like a whole respect. Let's go talk about this step by step in some detail. Before I do, give me a second real fast. Get back to the very beginning here. Because I know me and Nick, we corresponded before the show. We were talking about where we should start. And I know I said Survivor Series 2013. But let's start at Survivor Series 2012. Because that's when the Shield debuted on WWE television. And that was November 18th, 2012 in Indianapolis. Remember Indianapolis, because that would play a part in the Shield and their storyline at multiple points in their careers. But the Shield debuted, interrupting, I believe it was a WWE Championship match, CM Punk, John Cena, Ryback. The Shield comes out, destroys Ryback, destroys John Cena, helps CM Punk win the title. And for the next year, the Shield runs roughshod over WWE, beating everybody in their path. I don't think they lost a match until like maybe mid-2013. I mean, they just beat the hell out of everybody.
Might have been after that.
It might have. I honestly can't remember the exact time, but it was a while. Let's just know that. And even though Vince McMahon wanted to beat him at Elimination Chamber with Cena, and everybody was like, no, that's the wrong thing to do. But, you know, took a while. And the Shield eventually went from heels to top babyfaces. They were a top trio act. Or before that, at least late 2013, people started liking them, I think. But they were still heels on TV. But the real Roman Reigns part of the story begins November 24th, 2013, the next year at Survivor Series 2013, when The Shield and The Real Americans, remember how fun of a tag team that was, The Real Americans? Cesaro and Jack Swagger?
Yeah.
They faced the Usos, Cody Rhodes, Goldust, and Rey Mysterio. And this was in Boston. One of the worst pay-per-views I've ever seen. But this was significant because The Shield won the Survivor Series match, but it's significant because Roman Reigns eliminated four people in this match.
Wow.
Eliminated Jimmy Uso, Cody Rhodes, Goldust, and finally Rey Mysterio to help The Shield win the match. And it was clear that Roman Reigns, unless you weren't paying attention, that at this point, Roman Reigns is a guy. They're grooming him. Clearly, they're making him into somebody. He eliminated four people in this match. Do you have any memories of this at all, Nick?
You know what? I don't. But what I do remember is that time frame. I more remember a later pay-per-view that we'll get to, but that was like my inkling that something was going on with him, that he would be the next guy. Whereas this, for you, I guess, Survivor Series 2013 was your inkling that this was the guy that would be the future. Well, I didn't really necessarily think that in terms back then.
I don't think a lot of people did, but I think if you really think about it, it starts on this night.
Absolutely,
really.
Yeah, you're right. And when you brought that up, I was like, wow, like, it was before what I thought. And then, going back to, and at first, this was like, okay, they want a match, but no, like, him eliminating four people, that's obviously telling something. That's something that's going to be brought up in the future, which clearly was, at that point. So, yeah, and they even still do that type of booking today, where they want to get somebody in a certain position. They're going to have these moments for them to build them up. And to tell you, it's funny because I really don't have any memory of that, but a vague memory, but I can't remember him eliminating four people.
Yeah, I do remember it being like a lot of people. I didn't remember the exact number until I just looked it up earlier today.
Yeah.
But I remember that being like his match. And it was like, oh, okay. Yeah, like Roman Reigns just took over and, you know, beat everybody up. You know, it was kind of, it was like, okay, but you still didn't, like I said, I don't blame you for necessarily not like seeing at that point, like, oh yeah, the Roman Reigns is going to be their next top guy because he's still part of the Shield. They hadn't split him off yet. But if you look ahead a little bit in time, we're going to jump forward a little bit, but we're going to go back. Don't worry. I'm going to go to CM Punk's guest appearance on Colt Cabana's podcast. Remember this big, massive thing that, because it's the first time CM Punk had really talked to anybody about his departure from WWE. And he mentioned on that podcast that there was this big push behind the scenes to make Roman Reigns look strong. And that specifically was for their 3-on-1 handicap match they had at TLC in December. So that's next month at TLC after Survivor Series 2013. The Shield had a 3-on-1 handicap match against CM Punk. And CM Punk won the match somehow. But in winning, he had to make Roman Reigns look strong. That's what CM Punk said on this podcast. And I think that didn't help Roman Reigns any. This is after he started to push. This is after the Shield broke up, I'm pretty sure, because this is 2014, well in 2014, maybe 2015, when his podcast was released. But it was known that, you know, like I said, Roman Reigns was supposed to be the next guy, but CM Punk, and everybody's rallied around CM Punk. They still love CM Punk, but it was more of a fever pitch at this point because he had just left. And when he said that, I don't think that helped Roman Reigns at all.
That is a fantastic point. Totally forgot about that. And you know, I'm not going to say, okay, well, that's the reason everyone hates Roman Reigns, but
didn't help.
No, exactly. And when you have someone that, like you said, people were still in love with CM Punk and they still are to this day. And we do have some people that are kind of over the fact that he's gone and they're like, all right, let's move on. And a lot of people aren't, though. We still hear those chants, you know, at the arenas. So him saying that, and I think you're right. I think it came out like on a Thanksgiving night or like a Christmas day or something. It was like a holiday and it like dropped and everyone was talking about it. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? And then I listened to it maybe like a day or two after that. And I was like, oh boy, things are going to get interesting now. So totally forgot about him doing that, about saying that about Reigns on that podcast. And that was probably the hottest interview at the time in the whole wrestling industry.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, everyone was downloading it. So, you know, that's a great point that many probably overlook. And maybe subconsciously they're like, oh, yeah, like maybe that's why I don't like Reigns.
Yeah. I mean, it, like I said, didn't help him for certain. Let's fast forward a little bit, though, to another kind of big night. It was a big night in his career. January 26, 2014, the Royal Rumble in Pittsburgh at the, I think it's PPG, it's PPG Paints Arena, whatever you want to call it, that place in Pittsburgh. But Roman Reigns is in the Royal Rumble. He entered at number 15 and eliminated 12 people, breaking a long-standing WWE record, Kane's record, actually, that lasted since 2001. So 2001 and 2014, that would have been 13 years. So that's a 13-year record. He broke the record by eliminating 12 people. Kane had eliminated 11, and he was the last one eliminated. The thing about this, though, was that the fans were behind Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. They were hoping that he would win. Now, there were a number of things in play here. It wasn't just Roman Reigns they were cheering for. They were mostly cheering against Batista because people didn't want Batista to win the Royal Rumble because they wanted Daniel Bryan to win the Royal Rumble, and he wasn't even in the match. So the fans took over the match, and they essentially targeted Batista. It wasn't his fault, but he was the target. And they saw like Batista as the guy that was kind of coming in and swooping in and taking Daniel Bryan's spot that belonged to him, that they felt that belonged to him. So in an effort to like kind of just rebel against whatever Batista was doing, Roman Reigns is the last guy in the ring, and they were over the moon for him, and they were behind him. So it didn't hurt that the Shield were essentially a tweener team at this point. They hadn't quite turned babyface, but they were on their way. And the fans were behind them. They liked the Shield. Who didn't like the Shield? They were badasses. So it didn't hurt that people liked the Shield. It didn't hurt. All these things that came into play to get Roman Reigns cheered that night. And like I said, he's still talented, still badass, still cool. So, yeah, we'll cheer him. And didn't work because Batista won and went on to main event WrestleMania. But what do you remember about this night? Besides, like I said, you know, like, yeah, all the people cheering him and he being the last one eliminated and breaking a long standing Royal Rumble record.
That was funny. I was on board with Daniel Bryan. I was mad. I was angry. It was like, man, like it would have been the perfect chance to have something like that happen. So when Reigns and Batista were the last guys, I was like, you can't have Batista win this because the reaction is going to not be what you want it to be. And I'm like thinking in terms of me working for WWE. I was like, what reaction would I rather have? You can always, you know, have a match down the road. If you wanted to do Batista versus Reigns, the winner goes to WrestleMania, have Batista win that match. I don't know. Like, but that in that moment, I'm like, you can't have a winner that's supposed to be a babyface that's going to get booed. Because like, it just didn't make sense to me. And they did it, and I was just like, man, they dropped the ball. Because, like you said, they were against Batista, but Reigns, like, he got some really loud cheers during that match. And in order to kind of be unpredictable, I was like, all right, just have him win that. That could be his, like, marquee moment at this point. Because at that time, I was like, okay, this is going to be the guy eventually. So why not just kind of give him this win now instead of waiting, you know, a year or two or three down the road? So I thought it was a mistake just based off the fans' reaction, because people watched it. They were still on pay-per-view. This was like right before the WWE Network started, like the next month. So like it still meant something to everyone watching. Like maybe I'll get into that a little bit later, what I think is going on now, but you know, just having that just left such a sour taste in everyone's mouths. And I just thought that that was like the wrong finish. And if you wanted to capitalize on anything, call an audible on anything, that would have been it.
Well, if we know anything about WWE, with the rare exception of Daniel Bryan, if they have a plan, they're going to stick to it. Yep. They had a plan with Batista, and they're going to stick to that plan no matter what the fans said. Yep. And Roman Reigns at that point wasn't part of their plan. He was further down the road. And I think people walked away from that event saying Roman Reigns is going to be a star one day. I don't think that they knew how he's going to be a star. I don't think they thought that WWE is going to push him the way that they have. But you can tell.
I agree with that.
They like Roman Reigns. He's got talent. It's just a matter of taking their time and cultivating it. And they did not take their time, which we'll get into in a little bit. But let's fast forward another month, a month ahead, to Elimination Chamber 2014. This is February 23rd, 2014 in Minneapolis. The Wyatt family versus the Shield. This is the first time these two teams have come together for a match. They were the two big badass trios on the show for months leading up to this point, and they have finally squared off. But the match was great that they had. The two matches that they had were great. The one on Elimination Chamber and the one on Raw. And before I remember before the match, before they even touched, there was a this is awesome chant.
Yeah,
because hey, they were the two best groups going at that point. But the thing that stuck out to me about Roman Reigns in particular was that it was clear at this point that he was the centerpiece of that group. When it started off, it was definitely Dean Ambrose. He was the mouthpiece. He was the guy always in the middle, and that's not by accident. He was a guy always in the middle. Whenever they were on camera, Dean Ambrose was in the middle. But late 2013 into 2014, that changed, and it became Roman Reigns. And whenever the Shield moved, whenever he moved, the Shield moved. You know, I remember when the Wyatt family and the Shield would have standoffs on opposite sides of the ring. It was like Bray Wyatt would step up on the rope, and then Roman Reigns step up on the rope, then the rest of the group would step up on the ropes together. And it was clear that Wyatt and Reigns were the two leaders. And it just, you know, that's just how it happened. And eventually, but I did like how WWE kind of spotlighted each member of the Shield. They went from Dean Ambrose, and this point it was Roman Reigns, and eventually it became Seth Rollins when he was just going buck wild in those Evolution matches.
Yeah.
But it was clear at this point, you could tell that they think Roman Reigns is the centerpiece of the group.
Yeah, I agree with that. And like you said, that was the white hot angle that I didn't even realize. Maybe in that was the point I realized, okay, they're turning the Shield face, because I mean they were getting kind of face reactions, but they were still, like you said earlier, they were like tweeners. And I think this was the point. The Wyatt family, they were always heel. So when they did the standoff, this is awesome chance before they even, when they were just staring at each other, that was the moment where, you know, as a fan, you're looking at it, you're like, okay, the Shield or babyface. Roman Reigns is leading that group. Obviously, Bray Wyatt was the leader on the other side. And the day after that match that they had at Elimination Chamber on Raw, they had Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns. And, you know, Wyatt won via DQ. But, you know, that just goes to show that I honestly think Bray Wyatt might have been like in their future plans-ish, but not to the extent the Roman Reigns was. So I felt like this was almost like, hey, here's a look at the future, future main event right here, possibly at WrestleMania, who knows? And I thought that boded well for him coming off the, you know, that match at Elimination Chamber, coming off the Royal Rumble. You know, I thought things were going in the right direction for him at the time.
Yeah. Eventually, the Shield move on to WrestleMania, beat the Outlaws, beat Kane at WrestleMania in a squash match, and they move on to the Feud of the Evolution, where they had two unbelievably good matches. Especially that Extreme Rules match they had. But Extreme Rules and Payback, they had two great matches. But the Shield won both of them, including that Payback match, which was an elimination match. And the Shield swept Evolution 3-0.
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa, the Shield is here to stay. They are a top babyface trio act. And that's something that I thought could have been unique at the time. I mean, we'll get into the breakup in a second. But I was here for that. I was like, they got a top trio act. You usually see a top single act, or that's pretty much it. Top single act. It's like one guy at the top. Here you got three guys who are capable of being at any point in time, in my opinion, the top guy. And they were just turning babyface. Their merch was moving. People were with the Shield. You know, all right, let's go. Summer of Shield. And then the night after Payback 2014, which would have been June 2nd, on Raw in Indianapolis, the Shield broke up.
No.
And it was like, in hindsight, I think that was a mistake, because they could have kept them together longer, and if they could have still pushed Roman Reigns, and I think it would have helped Roman Reigns that he was still a part of the Shield, because people liked the Shield.
Right.
And I think it gave, in some strange way, it gave him credibility amongst the fans, because the fans loved Dean Ambrose, they loved Seth Rollins, they liked Roman Reigns. He wasn't their favorite necessarily, though, but they liked him because he was with Rollins and Ambrose.
It's like, and when he talked, it was like straight to the point, like kind of that badass type attitude. And so it's not like he was terrible on the mic. Like, he didn't talk a lot, but when he did, fans were like, oh hell yeah, like that's my guy right there. Right. So, like you said, you know, you break that up, you kind of put him by himself now, where he's going to have to talk more, where he can't just deliver. I mean, I guess they could have booked him like that, but they didn't, where he delivers, you know, the one-liners or like just the two lines where like his actions will show in the ring. And they just never did anything with that after the breakup.
Right. So eventually, obviously, all three guys go their separate ways. But for whatever reason, Reigns is the only guy that keeps the gear. And he keeps the music and the entrance of the Shield. Rollins and Ambrose are repackaged. They got new gear. They got new music, new entrances. Reigns, on the other hand, is still walking through the crowd. He's still got pretty much altered his Shield attire. Still the same thing, though, but he's just altered it. Still like Riot gear, sort of. But he's essentially put right into WWE Championship contention. He doesn't go for the U.S. title. Doesn't go for the Intercontinental title. He's put in to the Money in the Bank ladder match for the WWE Championship. He's the only Shield member in this match right off the bat. Pretty much his first pay-per-view after the breakup. This is only 3 weeks after the breakup. He is in the match with Cena, Cesaro, Wyatt, Sheamus, Del Rio, and Orton. He lost, but he was in the match. And I'm pretty sure, I don't remember it by heart, but I'm pretty sure he had a good showing. But on this same night, keep this in the back of your mind, obviously, Seth Rollins won the Money in the Bank match. He won the Money in the Bank briefcase. The ladder match that Reigns is in for the WWE Championship, and Rollins won the Money in the Bank briefcase. But like I said, he's pretty much the same guy, just not with the Shield anymore. Reigns goes on to lose another WWE title match. Again, in another WWE title match, he lost again to Cena retained the title at Battleground 2014. But now we move on to SummerSlam 2014, which is like a point in time where two things happen for Reigns. Number one, he's put into his first singles, big singles match against Randy Orton on a big show. It's like his first big singles match on a major show. But it also, around this point, it becomes the reports start coming out that Reigns is the next guy and that he's going to be the guy put in line to beat Lesnar at WrestleMania. Because on this same night, Lesnar beat the holy hell out of John Cena and won a WWE World Heavyweight title.
Yeah.
And I think it was Meltzer or whoever reported that Reigns is in the plans to be the guy to beat Lesnar eventually and crowned the next guy. And again, just like the CM Punk interview and now this, I don't think that helped Roman Reigns. And also, it didn't help that he didn't go for the U.S. title or the Intercontinental title. But what do you think about this time in Reigns' career when he first splits off from the Shield and he gets his big match against Orton?
Man, I didn't buy into it. I really didn't. I thought it's too early to, not for him personally, but to really believe that, you know, he was going to be the guy to beat Lesnar. Like, I could buy it to an extent, but I was like, you know, the crowd just, they have to be behind this. There's no way that, unless they turn him heel, that they're going to go down this road. And lo and behold, this is kind of what they do. He beat Randy Orton that night. Fairly forgettable match for me. Like, I don't remember much about it. I guess the only thing was that he got the win, you know, to kind of propel himself at SummerSlam's, like, you know, the big event. So, you know, I didn't think that he could get to WrestleMania and wrestle in the title match without having one of those mid-card type title runs, you know, 3-4 months before WrestleMania.
Right.
He didn't need to have it up until that point, and he didn't need to, you know, just that. It's almost like fans do care about that stuff. It's almost like paying your dues type thing. You know, he's not a Brock Lesnar. He didn't come in and just win the world title and like the world on fire, you know, in 2002. You know, he's not like, there's only one Brock Lesnar, obviously. So, you know, the mid-card title still, John Cena did it. So if you're going to, if you have this idea in your head and you think that you could just hotshot that skipping the underneath build, that's a total mistake because obviously it can collapse. If you put him in that situation too quickly, you know, the fans just did not buy him in that position without quote unquote paying his dues, being an Intercontinental champion, being a US champion. So the fact that he didn't do that and he was just kind of, I think the fans resented that because they believed it as truth, that it makes total sense. And we don't want to believe that. So I feel like, and, like you said, it was all the Meltzer thing was almost as bad as the CM Punk interview.
Right. And it didn't help that he fit the mold that WWE had, big guy, Samoan heritage and all that.
People knew who he was related to.
Right. And then, like I said, if it worked for Cena, he won the U.S. title before winning the WWE title. It worked for Steve Austin. It worked for The Rock. It worked for Shawn Michaels. It worked for Bret Hart. It worked for all these guys, except maybe Lesnar and maybe Hogan. Those are the only two guys I can think of that were top guys that didn't win a mid-card title before that. Kevin Nash. I mean, name it. Triple H. All these guys. It should work for Roman Reigns. And he hadn't quite had the credibility with the fans yet that a Seth Rollins, a Dean Ambrose, and others have had to that point. He hadn't, and maybe it's not fair to him that he didn't work the indies. He wasn't an indie darling and Ring of Honor and whatnot. You know, that people's path are their path. It don't make him any less talented. It's just that in the eyes of the fans, he hadn't earned that type of merit yet. And WWE was like, well, whatever, we'll give it to him by having to beat Randy Orton. You'll love him in no time. So we're going to make you love him. And sometimes you just can't make people feel that way all the time. It works sometimes, not all the time. Did you get my text, by the way, Nick? I just texted
you. Yeah, I did.
Okay, cool. little stuff we're doing off the air. But, so it's just you can't force it. You got to let it happen organically. If you know, back in 2014, I didn't really see anything offhand that made me think, yo, Roman Reigns is a guy.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Like,
the fans weren't behind him to that extent. And it didn't help that at this point, Daniel Bryan was still a guy that people loved. Yeah, he was injured.
Yeah.
But they were like, when he comes back, he should be right back there, not Roman Reigns, because he hadn't earned it in their eyes yet. So remember, Daniel Bryan's thing is still out there, still a thing.
And to that point, I didn't look at Daniel Bryan as being a guy that could be in the position he was when he started. I'm not talking about, like, you know, back to 2010, but even during his run as World Heavyweight Champion, when he was kind of like a, you know, a cowardly heel type, you know, he went from babyface to like that heelish thing that ran away all the time. And I didn't look at that and see, like, oh, this guy's going to be one of the, you know, most popular guys in a few years.
Well,
and look what happened. Like,
right.
Like you said, it happened organically. And for some reason, the whole happening organically thing is just not WWE code now.
Just not Vince McMahon's thing. He wants to be able to make it happen, make you want to do it. We are joined by the good brother Sawyer midway through the show. Sawyer, we're doing a real retrospective about Roman Reigns because there's a lot of talking about Roman Reigns going on right now, if that made any sense. That probably wasn't a proper grammatically said sentence that I just said. Those last two sentences were terribly said. But there's a lot of talk about Roman Reigns right now. It's a hot topic of discussion because of the direction that he's been going in with this Brock Lesnar stuff that's being dragged out for weeks and weeks and months and months. So we're kind of going through a timeline of sorts of Roman Reigns and kind of talk about the various points of his career that were pivotal and what happened, what went right, what went wrong. And we were just talking about SummerSlam 2014 when he beat Randy Orton. But around that same time, it became clear that the reports started coming out that he was going to be the guy to beat Lesnar, because Lesnar later on that night beat Cena for the title. He was going to be the guy next in line, essentially, to be the top guy. So the next thing we're going to talk about here, first, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on the show so late. Nick, what's up, brother?
What up, man? Ron,
always a pleasure to see you, too.
Always. It's always a pleasure, brother. You know, you already know.
Definitely. And I appreciate y'all having me on the show, such a short notice. You know, I had some other hosting duties I had to take care of.
We won't talk about that. This is a family program.
No, we ain't talking about that. SummerSlam. So 2014 is when he became, everyone knew that he was getting a push, right?
Yeah.
So I heard you talk about something being organic before when we had Super Cena, right? So I liken it to Super Cena. Only thing I think a lot of people still like Cena that may not like Reigns. I feel like when Super Cena started beating, you know, Nexus 3-on-1 or 2-on-1, it kind of just happened and people were angry about it. But I think knowing the reports that he was going to be the guy, and then you actually seeing the booking going on, caused a lot of people to turn on him. At least that's the way I looked at it then. Because SummerSlam, he beat, you got to refresh me. So 2014, he beat
Randy Orton.
He beat Orton. Didn't they cash in or something or no?
No, that wasn't. Seth Rollins had the briefcase, and he obviously didn't cash until next year.
Orton cashed in the previous year.
Yeah, my years are messed up. The 2010s on are just a little foggy.
I don't blame you.
I think he was beating people, and it was gotten to the point where he was beating people, like taking all the damage in the world, and then hitting like three moves, and then he would pin people, and I think people just tired of that.
Just like what he did, what was it, at Backlash, right? When he just beat
when he beat Jeff.
Samoa Joe.
Yeah, he just got his ass whooped and then hit a spear and a Superman punch and it's over. And it's like,
he got thrown into a table, right? I mean, they beat the living daylights out of the dude and he still wins everything.
Right.
And it is like Super Cena. Only thing, Super Cena had the kids, whereas Reigns really tried to, like, I think they tried to make him into like a man's man, but then like
he's got the front office.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the kids, the women, or the men.
No, he doesn't. I mean, and even to the point of us now,
he's got women. No, Reigns got women. Women love Roman Reigns. women fawn over Roman Reigns. At least the women that I've come into contact with, they like, who is that? I'm like, that's
long,
Roman Reigns.
Long hair.
Yeah. Strong jawline. But eventually after SummerSlam 2014, Reigns, right before Night of Champions, he suffered a hernia injury, like right before the pay-per-view, and he was out until December. He's out until TLC when he came back and helped Cena beat Rollins, and I think it was a stairs match at that point or whatever. That was like the tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs, which was horrible, but we won't talk about that. No, but Reigns, around this point, started talking more, and this is when he started talking about suffering succotash and having those horrible, horrible promos that he wasn't good enough to deliver and make them anything, and they were terribly written. So that didn't help him any. Like, just none of these things helped him. And it didn't help, again, that people knew that he was going to be the guy. So the scrutiny became heightened around Roman Reigns. Like, the microscope became bigger, because I don't know if it's ever been really known before that 6 months, 5, 8 months out, that this is going to be the guy. So everybody's all of a sudden fixated on him. It's going to pick apart what he does wrong, what he's good at, what he's bad at, more or less what he's bad at. And those promos didn't help at all. People started saying he can't talk, he can't work, blah, blah, blah. But that didn't stop WWE, because January 25th, 2015, the first pay-per-view of the year is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the building. Nick, you were in the building.
Mm-hmm.
Sawyer, were you in the building? I know you watched, but...
Yeah, I don't think I was in the building, but I probably watched.
Yeah. Roman Reigns enters the Royal Rumble match at number 19. And the crowd hates every second of it. This is, even without the Roman Reigns stuff, this Rumble sucked because of how they built it and how they just tossed people out unceremoniously and essentially built the whole match around one guy, and that one guy being Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. Came in at 19, eliminated a couple people, but that didn't matter because everybody that people had been cheering for, like Ziggler, Daniel Bryan, others, Dean Ambrose, were just tossed out like they were nothing, and Roman Reigns was triumphant. Thanks to The Rock, who's his cousin, third removed or something like that. I forget the family ties exactly. But The Rock comes out. People like The Rock. They didn't like Roman Reigns. And even when The Rock raised his hand, the fans still booed. And they booed throughout the whole match from the moment Roman Reigns entered to the time the match was over. And it was just like WWE for the second year in a row just made the Royal Rumble a crappy match again.
And I think that wasn't that the one where Rusev, where people just whoever they thought went up Roman Reigns, everyone got
it was the inverse of what happened the year before, where people were rooting against Batista. Mm-hmm. This year, and then they were cheering for Roman Reigns. This year, it was rooting against Roman Reigns. Whoever was there is going to get cheered for, and that just happened to be Rusev.
I remember people were mad because they were like, "Oh, look at Philly booing The Rock," and like, "No, we just hate Roman Reigns."
Yeah, it had nothing to do with The Rock. People love The Rock.
Everybody tried to hate on Philly for booing him. But no, I remember that because they had to bring The Rock out. And The Rock, I remember The Rock his hand up like, look, he won. And people were like,
nah, to be honest, The Rock deserved to be booed too, just for doing that anyway.
He needs to be booed for
don't help this guy we hate. What the hell's wrong with you? I don't care if he's your cousin. You suck as an actor. Boo.
It was just another piece of evidence that WWE was going to – he doesn't suck as an actor. I think Rock is a good actor. But WWE was going to go out of their way to help this guy get over. Like, you don't like him now, but wait till we do this. Then you're going to like him. So you don't like him now, but wait till we bring out The Rock. You like The Rock? The Rock likes him. You got to like him too, right? And the fans are like, no, we're not that stupid, dude. Like,
it was kind of like – so The Rock bringing out Roman Reigns was like, remember when Goodell was doing the draft and I kept saying like he's going to bring out Boy Scouts, like a one-armed midget, just anybody so no one boos him and they still boo.
Right. Yeah. They brought out Jason Witten and Roger Staubach at the draft and fans still didn't cheer for Roger Goodell.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Whatever. But what up, Rock? I like you. I like you. But that was Royal Rumble 2015, and it was a disaster, and the fans hated it, and not just in Philly, but all over the place. And it, you know, I don't know, it's not, I don't want to shirk Roman Reigns from all the blame, but that's, again, it's not really his fault. It's the position that WWE has put him in. Could he have been better at promos? Yes. Could he have been better in the ring? Yes. I think he eventually proved that he was really good in the ring. Mm-hmm. But to this point, I couldn't put it on him totally. I mean, this is WWE just ignoring the obvious and saying, you're going to like him this time. But here's the thing. Here's an interesting night. The next night, WWE was supposed to have a show in Hartford, Connecticut. Yes. But there was a snowstorm, and that show got canceled. So they shot the whole show in Stamford, Connecticut, WWE Studios. But the one thing about this that pertains to Roman Reigns, that he had a very interesting segment with Lesnar and Reigns. They had to sit down, and they were in the same room, and Roman Reigns had to talk pretty much freely. He didn't have to say suffering succotash or any other stupid stuff. It was just him. And it's like, you know what? They got something here with that. Like, just let him be him and they might have something there. And it didn't hurt that Paul Heyman was in the room. He could kind of steer the ship, but like, hey, they got something there. Yeah. Eventually, we move on to Fastlane 2015, February 22nd, 2015, in Memphis, Tennessee. Roman Reigns faces Daniel Bryan for the right to face Lesnar at WrestleMania on the line. And Roman Reigns defeats Daniel Bryan. Now, of course, if Roman Reigns is going to be the guy, he's got to beat Daniel Bryan. But we know why this happened. Mm-hmm. WWE trying to make you to like Roman Reigns again, because after the match, Daniel Bryan endorses Roman Reigns. He shakes his hand. He probably raises his arm. And it's like, will you like him now? You all like Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan likes him. You have to as well. And fans, again, didn't work again. And they had it, from what I remember, it was a good match.
Yeah.
It was better than the Royal Rumble. I remember that. I remember the Rollins match at Royal Rumble stole the show. And I remember I was mad on Monday because of the snowstorm, because they showed the Rollins, the main event for Royal Rumble, live on Raw. And I was like, wasn't for the tickets.
I had that match as like my number two match 2015. I remember we did a top 10 matches or whatever. That was an incredible match. But this Reigns-Bryan match was pretty good too.
I think you yelled at me because I had it as my number like 7 or 8.
Yeah, because this match is incredible, bro. You messed up on that one. let's fast forward about another month to Raw. On March 23rd, it's last Raw before WrestleMania. We're in Los Angeles at the Staples Center, and Reigns and Lesnar have a face-off.
Oh, hell yeah.
What kind of face-off?
Give me the belt. Give me the belt.
They have a tug-of-war over the damn belt. WWE. Again, Roman Reigns, talented guy. I like him. But then you do stuff like this, like you don't help him at all. Put him in terrible positions.
They played it like Rocky at the end where they just freeze frame with the belt.
Right, but they're not freezing. This is live. They're still moving. This is not a poster. It would have been a great poster.
Yeah.
A still image of them grabbing the belt. This was live television. Ugh, who thought of that? We know who okayed it. I just want to know whose idea it was.
So,
I don't know. It was so bad. Like, so that's it. This is what we're left with to go into WrestleMania. A tug of war. Give me your girl. Give it to me. I want it. I want it. No, I'm not giving it back to you.
My belt.
I'm surprised they didn't bite each other. It would have been better if they just started biting each other.
Let's just say it's both ours.
We'll just keep it at my house.
Right. Like, what? That was so bad. But they redeemed themselves 6 days later, March 29th, 2015, Levi Stadium, Santa Clara, California. I was there to see it. Right. Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar had a hell of a match. And I think this is when people started to realize Roman Reigns can go. All right? So that's one thing he can do. He may, you know, criticize everything else, but in the ring, this man can go. But it was clear by the end of the night that WWE had pivoted away from Roman Reigns being triumphant over Brock Lesnar, because Seth Rollins cashed in that Money in the Bank briefcase. He won all the way back last summer, the summer before, I should say. And instead of Roman Reigns winning the title and, you know, having his crowning moment, it's Seth Rollins. And Roman Reigns walks away with nothing. And apparently this pissed off his family. His family thought this is going to be his night. Nope. Seth Rollins went off.
And he took the pin.
Yeah, and he took the pin.
And the thing that kills me is, like, everybody that WWE gets behind, usually you'll be in those three-way matches, you're like, oh, the other guy's taking a pin. Well, Brock ain't taking no pins, so.
Right, so it had to be.
Roman's getting pinned at WrestleMania in the main event.
Right. Not the first time, not the last time. Well, it was the first time, but it won't be the last time. What do you remember about this night and just everything surrounding it, especially pertaining to Roman Reigns?
Now, I'll tell you, it didn't surprise me. But going into it, what was it, that week leading up to it, it was revealed Brock Lesnar re-signed with WWE?
Yes.
Like 2 weeks leading up, I don't remember.
It was like the week of, I remember
week
that.
Of. So, you know, to me, it was kind of like, okay, they're just biding time. They're going to do stuff with Reigns and Rollins now, pivot away from like Lesnar, and have Reigns beat Lesnar down the road.
Yeah, and which was now is not a good time. We're gonna build them back up, get the fans behind them, and then we're gonna do it.
And I thought that they could do it. I was like, okay, like to me, no one's ever really, no character's ever dead in wrestling. Like they, it's all about the writing. It's all about how they present them. Like you can make Fandango seem like the biggest star if you want to, like the next few weeks.
They did it with Jinder Mahal.
Yeah. So, you know, it's to me, I'm like, okay, they're like you said, they're going to rebuild him. They're going to wash away all like the negative sentiment around him from the fans and get the fans to buy in. And so I kind of like, I didn't expect Rollins to cash in, but when it happened, I was like, all right, like I thought Lesnar was going to walk out champion anyway. So, you know, something different, you know, not a title change in a main event at WrestleMania. And it was the second one on the network. So I'm like, like maybe they'll like, you know, mess around a little bit here, like kind of test stuff that they haven't really done before that we haven't seen. I think Miz was the last champion to retain, you know, in the main event at WrestleMania. Maybe. Well, I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong. It's just
until this year.
Right, right, right. So up until that point, you know, it's always like we're conditioned to believe the title's going to change hands.
And it technically did.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And going into it, I just, yeah. So, you know, to me, it was like, okay, they're admitting they're at fault. They're going to rebuild him. And hopefully down the road, I'll like Reigns. But right now, it's just not happening.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like WWE was like, we kind of recognize that this didn't go well. Yeah. So, fortunately, we got this Money in the Bank thing. We don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. I feel like they've been given every time like something like that happens with Reigns, we're always like, oh, I wonder what's going to happen on Raw the next night to see how they're going to rebuild him. And then it's kind of like the same thing. I think he went because after that he went right into the program with the Big Show in that last match, which kind of stunk. But you know, he's gotten more jump starts than anything. I really thought when Rollins came out and I was like, they're going to make him lose on WrestleMania. Jeez. This is terrible.
Nah, Rollins walked away with the title. Now, like you just mentioned, he went to a feud with Big Show. He went into a feud with Bray Wyatt that summer to Hell in a Cell. He essentially took a back seat from the main event scene. He wasn't feuding for the title. He probably was going to have a one-on-one. I think they announced a one-on-one match between Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns for Survivor Series. But, of course, that never happened because Seth Rollins got hurt during a live event in Dublin that kept him out for like 9 months. He tore his knee all up. So now WWE starts up this WWE Championship Tournament, which is like, hey, Deadly Games, you know, like we're back, he's doing this again. It's great. Roman Reigns is in the tournament. He beat the Big Show, then he beat Cesaro before November 22nd, 2015, which is Survivor Series in Atlanta. They had the semifinals and the finals on this night. Roman Reigns beat Alberto Del Rio. And then in the final, he beat his former Shield mate, Dean Ambrose, to finally win the WWE Championship. It's like, wow, Roman Reigns, finally there. Sigh, because here comes Sheamus. Here comes Captain Mohawk himself, Sheamus, who cashed in his Money in a Bank briefcase and won the title. So for the second time in like 6 months, that damn Money in a Bank briefcase thwarts Roman Reigns again. And he's left sitting in the ring like, I don't believe it, with the confetti coming down.
the picture of him in the end was just like come on, man.
In the ring crying. Probably didn't help neither.
I didn't go back and watch this. It's been a while. But I'm not so certain the crowd reaction was as negative as we thought it might be when he beat Ambrose.
I don't remember that neither. I think they were
just kind of resigned to the fact. They're like, okay, but
yeah,
that's why I think like Sheamus cashing in kind of, I don't want to say sabotage, but I was like, there's really no need for it. Why not just run with that? Because does he need his moment at WrestleMania? And that's the only reason why I think they did that.
Well, he got his moment sooner than WrestleMania because he started feuding against the Authority, started feuding with Sheamus. But again, some other stupid promos come up. It seems like late in the year, he's always got some dumb promos from Roman Reigns. Because this is a point where he talks about Sheamus's genitalia, and he calls him tater tots.
Yeah,
he's like, this is really bad.
I'm sorry.
That's, whoa, not now, Nick. But we get to TLC 2015, December 13th in Boston. He lost a match, WWE title match to Sheamus, but after that match, he beat the holy hell out of Triple H, and the crowd loved him because it's like this is like the edge that we wanted to see from this guy. We didn't want to hear him talk about tater tots. We didn't want to hear him talk about suffering succotash. We wanted to see him beat people's asses. And that's what he did to Triple H, who was, at that point, no one really put their hands on. So you got to put your hands on Triple H and beat the hell out of him. People were like, yeah, you know what? Hell yeah. Go ahead, Roman Reigns. Beat him up bad.
He deserved it.
But we didn't know that was only part one of people liking Roman Reigns for a couple days. Because the next night, Philadelphia. Again, Philadelphia's. December 14th, 2015. We're at Raw. We're all there, right? We're having a good time. Roman Reigns is the most over guy in the building. And whatever the story that WWE told, for whatever reason, we bought into it. And the crowd loved when Roman Reigns finally beat Sheamus to win his second WWE championship. They loved the story. They loved the fact that Vince McMahon was involved. And he had to put his hands on Vince McMahon. And the crowd loves him. And they're over the moon for him. They were giving him a standing ovation when he won the title. My friends thought this was like Raw every week. I was like, oh, this is not how Raw, this is not how good Raw is every week. Raw is kind of crappy for the most part. Don't get used to this. I'm going to take you to another Raw. Don't think it's going to be like this. It's like, keep your ticket stubs because this is historic. Like, it won't be like this again. But what do you recall about that? Now, I remember thinking that WWE had finally turned the corner of Reigns. I think they finally got it right. This was 2 years in pretty much to this experiment. I'm like, they finally got it right. Roman Reigns is beloved. If he can get you here to Philly, he can get you anywhere. Go ahead, Roman Reigns. Go ahead and run.
That's exactly what I thought. When you can just do a 180 with the crowd in 2 days for one guy, then you know it's possible. And the fact that they did that and were like, okay, like this is what they thought would be the WrestleMania of the, you know, earlier in the year. This is what they wanted. This is what they envisioned. So it might not be his WrestleMania moment, but it's his career defining moment. And the crowd reaction was there. Like, we told the national audience that it was okay that Roman Reigns was champ.
Right.
And, you know, like, we did that. Damn it, Philly. So, you know, I'm like, okay, let's see what happens next week. Like, I it was cool. Like, we witnessed the historic event. It's like, oh my God, like, I didn't think it was going to happen going into the show. But the fact that they did all that on Raw, it's like, okay, like, they're streamlining this process where even though I think up to this point he still hadn't held a mid-card title, like he was tag team champions like with the Shield, but no one really worries about that or remembers that with, you know, good reason. But, you know, not saying it was a bad reign, just saying that it didn't have anything to do with him as like a singles guy. So this is it. Like, Roman Reigns, full steam ahead. You know, he'll be champion through WrestleMania. Like, maybe he'll even be champion as far as SummerSlam. Like, they're going to ride this guy. And that's what I thought. Had, like, when I left the arena that night, I'm like, okay, this is the Reigns era.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember they, when everybody got hyped about him, people were like, oh, well, maybe they're going to book him differently. I think we talked about that very quickly. Like, oh, I think they're going to book him differently. And you were like, nah. I mean, they hyped it up, his moment. I feel like at that point, everybody just got to the point. Like, that was the time where Raw, I stopped watching for a little bit because I was like, they're going to do what they want to do. It's not going to make anybody happy. It is what it is. So I think people were just kind of tired of like, all right, he got the belt. Now let's see where it goes from there. And it really didn't go that far to me. I mean, when Steph smacked him, I mean, that kind of got him over a little bit because everyone hates Stephanie McMahon.
There
was a moment, and I think we talked about this on the podcast because we had started it earlier that year in the summer. He didn't wrestle until the Rumble after that, and I think that hurt him. I believe he didn't wrestle till the Rumble.
What year is this? Maybe
it was like the week Roman Reigns.
After he won the title? Yeah. I'm not totally sure. I don't remember.
It might have been like 3 weeks, maybe like the week before the Rumble, but you know, Vince said that he was going to defend his title in the Rumble match, and I don't even think he had a match on Raw at that point. I could be wrong. I just remember going into that thinking maybe him being out of the ring wasn't so great heading into the Rumble. He was just talking. He was on the mic the whole time, which, as we know, could be a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the Rumble, you mentioned it. We got to talk about the Rumble, which took place January 24, 2016 in Orlando, Florida. This was a historic Royal Rumble because it was the second time the WWE title was on the line in the Royal Rumble match. It was the very first time that somebody had defended the title in the Royal Rumble. The first time that the title was on the line, the title was vacated. But Roman Reigns is always going to be the first guy to defend his title in the Royal Rumble match. Of course, he's going against the Authority, so they put him in the ring number one. And he lasted pretty much the whole time until the pretty much the very end, until Triple H came out number 30 and eliminated him, and he went on to eventually win the title. Also on this match, just a quick note to remember, AJ Styles debuted at this WrestleMania, at this Royal Rumble, so that's another thing.
He had four televised matches from they were not anything good, but
nothing to remember.
Before the Rumble, I remember he had a match where it was Roman Reigns versus like half the roster. It was like one versus
all. That's probably right.
Yeah.
Because
they did the whole Roman Reigns versus the Authority. And he kept punching Vince McMahon every week.
Yeah.
Go figure, he didn't lose that match.
Right. Triple H was off TV from TLC until the Rumble. So over a month. And he showed up and won a title. And of course, that set everything in motion. Everyone knew that was going to be Reigns versus Triple H. Reigns had to earn the title shot, though, at Fastlane the next month in Cleveland, February 21st. He beat Lesnar and Ambrose in a triple threat match to get the title shot at WrestleMania. So it's official. Roman Reigns versus Triple H at WrestleMania. Problem was, this feud, no one cared about. No one cared a rat's ass about Triple H versus Roman Reigns. And no one cared about this Authority storyline. I know at this point I was sick of it. I was tired of it. No one was really buying into, the company's holding down Roman Reigns. And it didn't help that WWE was just racked with injuries up and down the card.
Yeah.
And that WrestleMania card was awful at that point. no Cena, no Orton, no Cesaro, no Rollins, and maybe a couple other people that I can think of. And this is on top. And it didn't really set the world on fire at all. So let's go into WrestleMania 32, that same event. April 3rd, 2016, in Arlington, Texas, AT&T Station. And Reigns and Triple H are on top. But the show was terrible before the match. The match itself wasn't really that good, and the fans weren't really buying into it. But eventually, Reigns did beat Triple H to win his third WWE Championship. And this is like the WrestleMania moment that everybody was waiting for, except fans booed him again as the show went off the air. So what do you remember about this whole feud and this match at WrestleMania?
I thought, and I think I was pretty hyped about it. I was like, okay, if anyone can get Roman Reigns over to the crowd, Triple H is perfect, because I thought he was a good heel when he was a full-time wrestler. And even as an Authority figure, I thought he was doing a good job. So I'm like, he will poke the fans into, and maybe he'll like trick them into rooting for Reigns, which is what I figure they're doing right now. But back then I'm like, okay, like this makes sense. Like Triple H, he's the best heel on the roster. Give him the title. Like, he gives credibility to it. I mean, I didn't look at him as a retired wrestler. He could still go in the ring. I was glad he came back and won. I thought it was like a really good kind of dickish heel move for him to win the Rumble and win the title. So, like, I was into that story, but like they've done so many times, they made me not care. And it's really hard to make me not care about something that when I'm like passionate about it and invested in it. So when Reigns won, like you said, people booed. Like, I think the main event started close to midnight, if not after midnight. Yeah.
That didn't help it either. It was a super long show. And it was like the first really super long WrestleMania.
Yeah. And I think I fell asleep during the match and woke up maybe like 5-10 minutes later. So I'm like, oh my God, did I miss anything important? But
no,
they were still wrestling. And for what was supposed to be the biggest WrestleMania ever in terms of attendance and everything, like you said, they really made that WrestleMania terrible with the card. I know they had a bunch of injuries, but that's where your writing and character development comes into play, and they had none of it. So like they didn't help themselves when they needed it. And then just having Reigns go over Triple H in the main event where everyone saw coming, where everyone complains about predictability, but then when it's unpredictable, they complain that, oh, well, that doesn't make sense. But like, this was the predictable where I'm like, you know, maybe a Triple H win wouldn't have been the most terrible thing in the world.
It just felt blah. There wasn't really any juice to it. It was just like, they walked in, they did the match, they got to Stephanie's spot where I think she got speared or something like that. And then like, that was it. Like, it was
if you look at the card, the funny thing is that the main event wasn't even the longest match. Shane McMahon and Undertaker had the longer match.
And that happens sometimes, but that show was wretched. That show was wretched. I hate talking about it.
But for the pre-show to start at 5 p.m., remember the pre-show started at 5, and the match, everything started at 7, and they didn't come on until like 11:30.
Yeah,
I was like, come on, man. Like, somebody better either blade or somebody better get hit with like a fireball or something to make me stay up this long.
Yeah, something. You got to give me more than just the Stephanie getting a spear spot. That wasn't enough. I didn't wait up all night to see that.
She didn't even get speared. Remember Triple H hit her, and then she fell through the table. She was
gone. That was the Seth Rollins match.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking. Yeah. My bad.
Yeah, I think she got speared on this show. And look, it was forgettable. Yeah. I don't blame you for forgetting. So, Roman Reigns, WWE World Champion again. Okay. It's the third time now, but it feels like the first time. So it's like, all right, the WWE is finally going to do this run that they've been dying to do for like now at this point, 3 years. They've been dying to do this big major run with Roman Reigns. Let's do it. Let's get it out the way. Let's see what the kid can do. He goes into a feud with AJ Styles because AJ Styles the next night won a number one contenders match, and they proceed to have two hella matches at Payback and Extreme Rules that I think won Roman Reigns some more fans, earned him some more credibility with those fans who were doubting him, especially as far as his in-ring. And I know he's in the ring with AJ Styles, so you can essentially do no wrong, but Roman Reigns carried his own, and I think he won some more fans over. Just like, you know what? This guy can go. Can't hate on Roman Reigns. He was in the ring on fire. He was riding high. Then we roll into June 19th, 2016. Las Vegas, Nevada. We're at Money in the Bank. And Roman Reigns has a one-on-one match with a returning Seth Rollins. Remember Seth Rollins, after Roman Reigns beat AJ Styles at Extreme Rules, Seth Rollins popped back up from injury, attacked Roman Reigns. They go into the WWE title match at Money in the Bank. They have a really good match from what I remember.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins wins.
Mm-hmm.
And ends Roman Reigns' reign prematurely, it felt to, I think everybody. I think everybody was surprised that he won that match.
Yep.
So you're like, whoa, that's a shock. Right after that, Ambrose cashes in Money in the Bank, and he's WWE champion. So then one night, all three members of the Shield were WWE champion. Pretty incredible night for the Shield. A month later, or a couple days later, I should say, 2 days later, I got ahead of myself a little bit. 2 days later, we get the reason why Roman Reigns lost that title. That's because he was suspended 30 days by WWE for violating the company's wellness policy. Mm. And it was just like, wow. The guy that you've been putting on this pedestal for 3 years at this point essentially got suspended while he was champion. Mm. And it's like, wow, like, really? And we don't know what he was suspended for. Still to this day, this happened 2 years ago. We still don't know. But it was like, man, that's a huge blow. I don't know to WWE, but definitely to Roman Reigns. Obviously, in hindsight, didn't hurt him that much. But what was your thinking after Roman Reigns got this suspension and he was going to be out for 30 days?
I was thinking he was coming back as a heel. Honestly, I thought this was it. I thought, okay. I don't remember our Money in the Bank preview show, but I could have sworn all of us picked him to retain whenever we had that show. So
probably.
You know, him losing was kind of a shock, and I didn't expect Ambrose to cash in on Rollins. So when Rollins won, I was like, okay, like, hey, they're going right back to where they were before Rollins got hurt. You know, I have all these thoughts going through my head and the, 30 seconds that I have to react to it. And then Ambrose comes in and wins. And I'm just like, whoa, like, that's pretty cool because I didn't see any of that coming. And this was before we found out Reigns was suspended. Right. So I'm like, okay, now we have a Shield thing going on and I love it. I was like, triple threat, Shield, SummerSlam. I was like, this is what it's going to be. I'm here for it. I was like, I don't care if Reigns wins. I just want to see, you know, maybe Triple H wasn't the answer to get Reigns over, but these guys, like, this will be the angle to really, like, hammer home, even if they put Reigns over in the end, that, you know, this is it. Like, I honestly thought it was it, and I thought Reigns was going to be the heel. I thought they were going to turn Rollins, him coming back to it. He was a babyface when he came back for, like, one night, and then he turned on the fans, like, the next night or whatever, but
yeah,
I thought they would kind of put those two against Reigns, so Reigns would have, like, a positive reaction from the crowd as a heel. Like, people are booing him already, so why not just give into that like they did with The Rock? And I'm not trying to compare the two. I'm not saying that I thought Reigns would have benefited as much as The Rock did from that. But at this point, the third year, you got to do it. You have to try something new. And I thought he was coming back as a heel. I was, like, sure of it.
When I didn't know when he lost, that's what I thought too. I thought, all right, great. He's going to turn on both the Shield members. He's going to be the heel. And that would have been great. And it would have been great. And I was like, oh, maybe they can play it off. Like, because, you know, sometimes someone will lose a big match and they'll be like, he's off for injury or he's not cleared to wrestle. And I'm like, oh, they'll pull him off TV and then we'll actually get somebody different. And then when he came back as a face, it was like, oh,
right back.
Nothing happens.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, you see a lot of guys who get hurt and they never get a chance to actually get that again. And Roman Reigns failed progress and then came back. You know what I mean? Like, still doing the same thing.
Yeah, he's right. Oh, like, same guy. Nothing had really changed. He grew a beard, I think.
Yeah.
And he popped up a month later. I don't think he returned to TV until Battleground 2016, when they had the triple threat, the Shield triple threat. And he didn't win. Dean Ambrose retained. And so, yeah, that was the end of that. The next night, though, because, well, let's rewind a little bit. July 19th, Reigns is drafted to Raw. And eventually Raw got the U.S. the Universal Championship as their main championship because Dean Ambrose took the title to SmackDown after the draft. So July 25th, Roman Reigns is in a mini tournament to determine the two men that will compete for the Universal title at SummerSlam. He goes against Finn Balor, who was, like, a high draft pick from NXT to Raw, and he lost clean to Finn Balor, which is, like, seems preposterous today, but at this point, it was clear. Roman Reigns, it looked clear to me, at least, that Finn Balor, for one, is a guy that WWE is very high on, and that Roman Reigns is going to take a step back because they were to go on Finn, and he got suspended, and it was time for him to take a step back. And it was like, wow, it was almost jarring to see Roman Reigns in that spot because we had just been so accustomed and so conditioned to seeing him in a top position, beating everybody up, and then all of a sudden here comes Finn Balor to usurp him. And it was, I guess you could say it's his fault because he got suspended. But it's like WWE had to do what they had to do, I guess, in this instance. Now, it sucks for Finn Balor that he got hurt at the SummerSlam, so that probably put Roman Reigns right back in the main event picture. But he wasn't quite there because he was feuding with Rusev for the U.S. title. And he eventually won the U.S. title in September. So his first mid-card secondary championship didn't come until September 2016 when he won the United States Championship from Rusev, which was, you know, felt backwards. Like, this should have came in 2014 or even 2013 because Dean Ambrose had the U.S. title in 2013. Instead, you waited until after he won the WWE Championship three times to finally give him the U.S. title. It's like,
and you remember that SummerSlam kind of match that wasn't a match where they were supposed to wrestle and they just beat each other up, and I don't think the bell even rang.
Yeah.
You know, remember that? Like, it was – it just, that is like, eh.
That feud got real old real fast.
Yeah.
I remember that. And so did the feud between him and Kevin Owens, which was next for him on the horizon for the Universal title. It seemed like they had matches like every week. It was like Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose versus Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens, or Roman Reigns versus Chris Jericho. It seemed like it happened every single week. I used to get sick of this at the end of 2016. And then it finally ended January 29th, 2017, San Antonio, Texas, the Alamo Dome for the Royal Rumble. They had the match where it was a shark cage, where Jericho's in the shark cage. But despite all that stuff going on, Roman Reigns lost to Kevin Owens. But that was not even that most important thing that happened in that, because Roman Reigns somehow got the 30th spot in the Royal Rumble. People were pissed. I mean, it was like number 30, Samoa Joe, No, Roman Reigns. Like, Samoa Joe? No. Kurt Angle? No. Roman Reigns? Yep. So, they were pissed about that. And then he eliminated The Undertaker, which was a little foreshadowing, apparently. Roman Reigns is the last one eliminated, but we fast forward quickly to WrestleMania 33 in Orlando, April 2nd, 2017. But Roman Reigns and The Undertaker was in the main event of the show. No titles on the line. A feud that really was only... an angle that was maybe 4 weeks, 5 weeks. Main event. And this match was not good. Because Undertaker was in rough shape. And Roman Reigns apparently isn't good enough to carry a guy who's in that bad of shape. But in the end, Roman Reigns won. Beat Undertaker at WrestleMania. Knocking The Undertaker's WrestleMania record to 23-2 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's now 24-2 because he beat Cena next year. 23-2.
Yeah. Wow.
And Reigns walks off the, you know, with the fireworks. He got his hands in the air with fireworks for some reason because it's Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns must pose at the end with fireworks. And Undertaker has the whole thing where he walks out of the ring, leaves his hat, leaves his glove, and descends to the ramp. It looks like Undertaker's retiring. So this gives Roman Reigns essentially his heat. And so he gets to say, now it's my yard because I beat The Undertaker.
Yeah.
And he's walking around calling it the ring his yard like The Undertaker did back in the day. So any thoughts on this early 2017 run of him beating The Undertaker and now calling it his yard after that?
I loved the fan reaction the day after, but based on how terrible the match was, it didn't do anything for me. So I just chalk it up to the fact that it was a post-Mania crowd and they were chanting obscenities, you know, to edit it off of the network version of the Raw replay where they were chanting F you Roman and Roman sucks and all that stuff. And
but that promo he had was great though. Just like, it's my yard now. And left.
Yeah,
and
that's all he said. He was just, you know, every time he would put the microphone up, everyone would boo. Then he would put it back down and just look around. And I thought that was great, but you know, him beating The Undertaker didn't do anything for me. I think the fan reaction was more of a respect for The Undertaker type thing. So you could have put anyone in that situation. They would have done it. I think the fact that they already hated Reigns helped, but you know, him beating The Undertaker wasn't as important, especially that Lesnar, you know, beat him.
Right. So. It wasn't, you weren't the first guy, you're the second guy. So who cares?
Yeah pretty much. It was a terrible match. You couldn't even carry him, and so what good are you?
The match was hot basura, or for those who don't know, trash juice. It was trash juice match. But his promo, the four-word promo was the best because I thought, all right, maybe this is like an Edger, we don't care, like Roman Reigns, and they still didn't do anything with him. I mean, everybody saw how bad The Undertaker was, and I mean, like, it wasn't really a big deal because, like Nick had just said, you're the second dude who beat him. Like, we've already seen this. Like, come on, man, move on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they kind of played it off like it was going to be an edgier Roman Reigns, and it really wasn't.
No, because he immediately went to a feud with Braun Strowman, which, to Roman Reigns' credit, he helped make Braun Strowman who he is.
Yes.
Got to give him credit for that. Braun Strowman would not be as over as he is today if he didn't have this feud with Roman Reigns that he had in early 2017, where Braun Strowman beat the daylights out of Roman Reigns every single week, including that hilarious segment where he threw Roman Reigns off a loading dock while he was strapped down to a stretcher. It was my favorite thing of that year. And it essentially made me a fan. It made me fall in love with Braun Strowman. I was like, I'm in with Braun Strowman. But like I said, get credit where it's due. You got to give credit to Roman Reigns for that because he definitely had some hella matches with him and helped Braun Strowman get over. Yeah, but he wasn't in the top of the card at that point.
I think it was Roman's to this date, May 9th, 2018, Roman Reigns' best feud of his WWE main roster career.
Yes, I could agree with that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. That is when everybody fell over Braun, and we cracked up about that for like weeks. Just when he was doing the interview, and he looked and dude threw him over the table. I was like,
It was great. But like I said, give credit where it's due. Give it to Roman Reigns because he definitely helped Braun Strowman get to this point in his career. But around this point, though, those reports coming out again, that Meltzer report or that Mike Johnson report, whoever you want to credit to, Roman Reigns is going to be penciled in to beat Brock Lesnar next year at WrestleMania. It's like, here we go again. And it's like, are they going to do it again? And they had Lesnar beat Samoa Joe. They had him beat Strowman. They had Reigns beat Cena. They would never really cross paths. I mean, they did the SummerSlam match, which was pretty good. But they didn't cross paths until this year when it was, like, obvious and clear that it was Roman Reigns versus Lesnar. And they did it again. Okay, it didn't work in 2015, but we're going to do it this time. We're going to build up Roman Reigns as this badass that pretty no one could beat. And they're going to do the same for Lesnar, put him on a collision course, and put him in the most lame duck main event I've ever seen at WrestleMania. The fans couldn't have cared less. At the very least, though, if you're going to do all this hoopla and hype for Roman Reigns, have him beat Lesnar finally and just get it over with. Like, just get it over with.
They just beat him to death and then had him lose anyway.
Right. Just do all that just to have him lose anyway? Like, what are we here for? What are we witnessing this push for? We're just going to lose. And then there's like, well, maybe if they don't do the WrestleMania, all right, maybe they're saving it for Saudi Arabia. Everybody in their mom was like, oh, he's going to be more cheered over there. So that's why they're going to do it. They're going to give it to him over there. Wrong.
Here's wrong. The funny part. They gave him an Intercontinental title run. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe the fact that it's going to be right in the rearview mirror where people are going to remember he was Intercontinental Champion before this, maybe that'll help. Maybe it'll make him make the reaction less negative. Nope, didn't do anything. People were mad that The Miz lost, if anything.
Yeah, it's just they're trying again. And I mean, you listen to this episode again, listen to it back on all the platforms that I mentioned earlier, and I will mention it again in momentarily, but how many times WWE has gone through this kind of this cycle with Roman Reigns that it's like putting around a square peg in a round hole. It's just like, it's again. And here we are again, uncrowned Universal Champion Roman Reigns. It's like,
so break. You had The Rock raise his hand. You had Daniel Bryan raise his hand.
Mm-hmm.
You had John Cena raise his hand.
Yeah.
Then they ain't going to rest until Brock Lesnar raises this damn guy's hand.
Essentially, you had The Undertaker raise his hand, even though he didn't physically do it.
Yeah,
but
that's a good point.
The only person who can raise his hand now would have to be Donald Trump, and he wouldn't even get over with half the population.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I said it.
You want to make Roman Reigns a heel, do that.
Have him high-five Trump.
Yeah, that's the heel turn. You don't do anything else. Have him put on a MAGA hat and come out and do a promo, say, scoopity poop, whoopity whoop. And it's like, that's a heel. That's the heel turn right there.
I mean, how many chances do you think? I mean, realistically, what do you think will get him over? Either of you.
I think it's almost too far gone. I think in 2014, 15, whatever, they could have turned him heel. And
minus a heel turn.
All right, other than that, I don't know.
You can't have him kick out of 5 or 6, whatever it was, F5s, and have him, like, taken seriously. Like, he's, like, they've exhausted so much energy. And, like you said, short of a heel turn, and I don't even know if they would buy him as a heel to this point. Because I don't even know if they're really invested in him. Like, they react, which is like the same thing they did with Cena. They do react, but they're chanting, this is boring, like during his main event matches. People were leaving Backlash early during the match, which obviously doesn't bode well for Samoa Joe either.
Yeah, they left early, and then they bounced as soon as that bell rung.
Yeah.
It was like, we out.
Showed the crowd shots, and everyone's like, get out of like, this thing's finally freaking over. Right. Because it was like almost midnight or something.
You can blame it on Roman Reigns. You can blame it on Samoa Joe. You can also blame it on WWE for having a show end at 11:30 or having Backlash end at 11:30. Like, I didn't come here for this.
Yeah, I know. Like, and then like, you got people online trying to make excuses like, oh, people have work the next day. Like, shut up.
If they
liked what they were watching, they would have seen.
That's true. That's also true, too. Like, believe me. Obviously, got work the next day. 11:30 for Backlash. Please stop this right now.
If Joe won, then I'd be like, okay, cool. Like,
if it's, there if it's Steve Austin, they not leaving. Yeah. If it's The Rock, they ain't leaving. You know, if you're over to that extent, if you're the top guy to that extent, they ain't leaving. Like,
yep.
And you ain't got to stay till 11:30 for them to be satisfied either.
I mean,
all Hulk Hogan needed was like 10 minutes. Yeah. And he was out. And the people were throwing babies in the air. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going crazy.
Roman needs to rip his vest. He needs to do that.
Maybe.
I think the only way to get him over right now is he has to beat the brakes off of Brock Lesnar at some point. At some point.
You think so? You think that's going to happen?
Well, if you're not going to...
Well, not going to happen, but that's what helped him.
If you're not going to turn him heel, right? I mean, what's the point of seeing this guy? I mean, he tried to kill Braun Strowman. It didn't work. Nope. So you try to do all this other stuff. And the only person he can't beat is Brock Lesnar, who either has the golden ticket or the ref is high every time. I'm talking about, I think that's the biggest obstacle for him. I mean, the fans, he has to it's going to have to be heel. He has to beat the brakes off of Kurt Angle. He has to, like, throw his gold medal or something.
Right. Turn him heel and then give him a good heel run, and then he can turn back babyface.
Yeah.
It works. It works with other people. It worked with Steve. It worked with The Rock. And working with Steve Austin, working with all these other people. He's a good name.
Like you gotta put him with somebody. You gotta put him like you put him with the Usos, and the Usos turn on him or something like somebody close to him has to like, you know, like right. I think Rock came out and hit him with the people's elbow. He'd get over, right? Because we'd be like, yay, The Rock finally beat, and we hate Roman Reigns too. I think if he came out smashing people, like all the mid card dudes that they don't use anyway, like. Like, Fashion Police got to go. Like, Ascension got to go. This just starts running through people. He'll get over because then we'll just want to see brutality, and then we'll be doing a show about how come it's not TV-14 anymore.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, if they knew, they would be smarter than we are.
Maybe he just has to team with Samoa Joe because, you know, he's the greatest heel promo right now in WWE. So maybe, like, Samoa Joe's the only guy that can salvage his career where not everyone's, you know, tuned out.
Maybe, yeah. Man. Maybe.
I tell you, man, I was surprised to meet Joe. I honestly was.
I wanted him.
Wasn't.
I like Joe better than most people on there. I want Joe to beat everybody for some reason. I just like the fact that Joe just chokes people out and looks happy doing it.
Yeah. Gotta love some old Joe. Hopefully he's getting top spot, top billing on SmackDown some point soon. But on that note, let's wrap it up. It is 10 o'clock here on the East Coast. We've gone for an hour and a half talking about Roman Reigns.
It was a great combo.
Did talk about a lot in detail. So, this is a great show. Nick, plug away, please.
You can follow us at Shooters Radio on Twitter, Facebook, facebook.com/TheStraightShooters. And you can follow me at Nick Pacone on Twitter. And you could read my Backlash recap if you want. Try not to gouge your eyes out because it was one of the worst pay-per-views I've seen in a long time on phillyvoice.com. I go into detail, have my opinions and everything in there. So if you just want to commiserate together or just see what I think about it and then hit me up on Twitter, go to phillyvoice.com, check out my article, and we'll have a lot of Sixers coverage, unfortunately, coming up on phillyinfluencer.com.
Yeah, the Sixers, they're not looking good right now. Down by like 9.
Yeah.
Let's go, Sixers. Down by 8. All right, let's go. All right, Sawyer, you want to plug anything before we go?
Thanks for having me on the show. Sorry I was a little late, but I appreciate it. And Roman Reigns is – he has everything he needs except for the fact that nobody wants to push him.
Yeah, he's got all the physical talent.
I mean,
I thought this. Oh, by the way, we kind of glossed over the Shield reunion.
We did.
Like
we
that. Did. That kind of helped him a little bit, but it is what it is.
Injuries. Yeah. If we talked about that too, then we'd go for another half hour. But
yeah,
they did reunite in Indianapolis late 2017, but Roman Reigns came down with like the measles or something. Like, something happened. Remember that they got all everybody got sick on that European tour or something like that.
Yeah, shingles.
That's what it was. I think it was shingles.
He's the gout or shingles. I always think of the gout because I remember Raven had the gout in the old ECW. Ass boot on for like a minute.
it was something that took out him and Bray Wyatt and forced Kurt Angle into the Shield. And then all of a sudden, everybody was in the Shield. Like, it was Triple H was in the Shield. Yeah, JoJo was out, which was like, really Bray Wyatt alone. But they, like, every week they had an honorary Shield member, and it was weird. But that was an important part. And it did get him sort of cheered, but then people were still like, you still suck. You still suck to Roman Reigns. Like,
we didn't forget you were Roman Reigns.
Right. But that was badass, though, when the Shield came back. I was really happy for that.
Not working.
I was definitely happy for the Shield reunion because they whoop people's asses. Like, who doesn't love that? They go out there and beat people up. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Oh, maybe it's still not out of the question when Ambrose gets healthy. Who knows?
Yeah, Ambrose technically on Raw.
No, maybe he needs somebody to speak for him.
Maybe, if you got a Paul Heyman.
Yeah, you bring no, can't be a Heyman guy with Brock.
No, but I'm saying, well, he can't. I don't know who else could do it then. I think Paul Heyman would be great with him.
Paul Ellering.
He would be. I guess he ain't really doing much, and he needs some new Islanders to manage. So,
he ain't traveling around that much. I don't know. But I'm at Vaughn M. Johnson on Twitter. I'm out there. I'm out here in these streets. Like I said, I'm out here trying to function in these streets. Yeah, so I'm on Facebook too, stuff like that, you know. Come holler at me. we're on multiple platforms, as I mentioned earlier. We're on iTunes, we're on Google Play, we're on Stitcher, we're on iHeartRadio, we're on Spreaker, we're on TuneIn Radio, we're on Player FM, and of course, the mothership, wildfireradio.com. We're also on YouTube. If you watch this live, thank you for watching us live on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to us. Check out our back catalog. We got a whole bunch of episodes up there since we started doing this Google Hangouts YouTube thing last summer, I think it was. And so, check us all out. Check us all our old episodes on YouTube. Check us our whole back catalog, an entire back catalog. If you can find them on Wi-Fi Radio, awesome. And iTunes, stuff like that.
SoundCloud, too.
Yeah, SoundCloud as well. All 146 previous episodes, because it's 147. It's a wrap. That's a wrap right there for 147. So, for the good brother Sawyer and my main man, Ponce Panther Pacone, I'm Vaughn Johnson. Thanks for listening and watching, and we'll catch y'all again next week.
Peace.
You've been listening to the Straight Shooters on Wildfire Radio. For advertising opportunities, contact Nick Pacone via email at PaconeNick@gmail.com or call 856-625-1190.